got my foot on the rock and my mind's
made up. Amen. You know, sometimes when your mind's made up, I've been accused of being stubborn. But you know what? My mind's made up on salvation. My mind's made up on where I'm going. Amen. And I don't think that's stubborn. I think it's faith. Amen. Brother, I started to say Jim, but Brother McCoy. I have to call him. One's Jim, one's Jimmy, one's Jimmer. Jim. Brother McCoy was talking about being up there in the mountains and seeing God's beautiful nature. And it kind of made me think of this. I'm going to sing a little bit of chorus for I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low, but not one time has He failed me. When to Him with my trouble I go. So let me walk with You, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone, for without You I could never, no, never make heaven my home. If you know it, sing it with me. I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low, but not one time has He failed me, and He never will. When to Him with my trouble I go, so let me walk with You, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone, for without You I could never, no, never make heaven my home. Aren't you glad that Jesus walks with us? If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 57. Praise God. Got any happy folks in the house tonight? Praise God. Glory to God. Got any saved folks in the house? Maybe that's what I should have asked first. If you're saved, then I know you're going to be happy. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to hold your thumb there, turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter number 5. Verses 4 and 5. 1 John chapter number 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Dear Heavenly Father, we love and thank You, God, for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your love. Thank You, Lord, for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray Your blessing, I pray Your anointing upon each and every one here tonight. God, we so thankful, Lord, for the testimonies of praise that we've heard. We thank You, Lord, that You are a healing God. Father, we thank You also, Lord, that You have given us the desire to be here tonight. And Father, I pray that You would just bless and anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, is nothing more than a vessel and an oracle, God, that the Holy Spirit may speak to us. God, that we'll be submissive, obedient, God, to Your word and to Your will. And we'll be so careful to give You the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Give Jesus another hand clap of praise if you would. You may be seated. Well, Brother Jim sang the song Victory in Jesus tonight. And Victory in Jesus is the topic of my message tonight, or my title message, if you would. I begin to think. Now, first of all, I want to share with you that the original Hebrew word for victory was, the definition was, that whose force lasts forever. In other words, eternal. Victory was never meant by the Hebrew and the writers of the Old Testament to be a short-lived thing. It was meant to be eternal. It was meant to be everlasting. Now, later on, shortened down to mean victory in battle or victory over certain situations. But originally, the Hebrew word that I can't pronounce, but I looked up the definition, means eternal and that whose force lasts forever. How many knows and believes that we have victory in Jesus? Amen. Glory to God. We got an eternal victory. We got an everlasting victory. And that means sometimes that means that we don't need to kind of go around saying, well, you know, the Lord just brought me out of this and gave me victory, but I hope it's not short lived, in other words. In other words, we need to hold on to what God has given us. And I began to think about that. First of all, thanks be to God, that which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many knows where a victory comes from? I believe the writer of the song Victory in Jesus had an experience and knew where the victory came from. If you have your hymnals, you might want to turn to 120 and look, but you probably know the song and you know the lyrics probably by heart. But there's some things that I want to talk about tonight, keys to victory. And we know where our victory comes from, but sometimes I think we need to be reminded of those certain keys that denote victory so that we can have an everlasting victory within our life. Victory when things are going good. Amen. It's easy to have victory then, but also victory when things are not going so well. Amen. Victory when persecution comes, or situations arise in our life, whatever the case may be, we can still live and operate in victory. Now, one of the first things that's talked about in that particular stanza is that an old, old story. How many remembers that? I heard an old, old story. You know what that author is saying? I heard about it in the Word of God. Amen. How many knows it was not a fable? Come on, it was not a story passed down from granddaddy and on and on and on. For the whole old story that he heard about, amen, was the Word of God. How many is thankful for the Word of God? Before we can ever realize victory, we need to know and understand the Word of God. Amen. When we need victory in our life, when we need deliverance from certain things, how many knows that we've got a book that we can go to? We've got the Word of God. Amen. We can read and understand the Word of God. And I will assure you, there is an answer to whatever you're going through when in life situation, we can find it in the written Word of God. And amen. The Bible also tells us to write it on the tables of our heart. That means to be familiar with it. I like to put it this way. Amen. Not only do we need to know it, but we need to love it and we need to live it. I'm talking about the Word tonight. Know the Word. Amen. If you know the Word and you know the truth will set you free. But not only to know the Word, but love that Word. Amen. Cherish the Word of God. It is a privilege and an honor to be able to sit down and open our Bibles and begin to read the Word of God. Not only the promises, not only the healings, but the deliverance and the wonderful instruction that we can find in the written Word of God. Not only do we need to know it and be familiar with it, but we need to love it with all of our heart. And by the way, we need to live it. How many knows that we are ambassadors for Christ? When we say that I am a Christian, what we are in fact saying is that I'm like Christ. Amen. And we need to be very careful when we use that terminology, because we say we're a Christian, we need to act like Jesus acted. Amen. We need to be as humble and submissive and obedient to God as Jesus was. We need to understand that it's about compassion, it's about loving your neighbor, it's about forgiving, it's about all of those things. So we need to know the Bible, love it, and live it. Then he also says a Savior. Amen. How many is thankful for a Savior? Glory to God. I like what Brother Jeff said. I'm looking for that Savior to come back. Why? Because that's what the Word says. Amen. I'm believing what the Word says. I'm not believing fables. I'm not believing what hearsay is. But I believe what the Word of God. You know, you'll never have to apologize for the Word of God. If you stick close to the Word of God, amen, it is true. It doesn't change for you. It doesn't change for me. It doesn't get old. It doesn't need to be renewed. It is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we need to understand that a Savior, amen, came to this world. He gave His precious atoning blood. Amen. If you want to live in victory, if you want to understand and operate in victory, you got to know where salvation comes from. Amen. You got to know that it didn't come by somebody shaking your hand, but it came by a loving Savior who died on the cross of Calvary, and through His shed blood came the atonement of our sins. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. Amen. That gets me excited to know that a Savior loved me that much. Amen. There's a song that says, when He was on the cross, amen, how many knows that I was on His mind? So in order to live in victory, to understand victory, amen, to operate in victory, we know not only need to know about what the victory stands for, but we also need to know and understand who made that victory possible. Amen, and that was Jesus Christ. And the songwriter, if you'll read these words again, and I was thinking about it, and I got an old red back church hymnal, and I began to look at the words, and I thought, my Lord, he had it. I mean, he nailed it when he began to write it. And I looked, and I believe it was copywritten in 1939. Praise God. How many is glad it don't change? How many glad it's still just as real today as it was, amen, when God moved on him to write the scripture, to write the lyrics of this song that was based on scripture. So that's the first verse. It talks about an old story, and then it talks about a Savior who gave His precious atoning blood. Now the third part too, and I looked at this, and first of all, I began to scratch my head a little bit, but you know what? The more I began to read it, the more I begin to understand it, I begin to realize that repentance plays a very important role in victory in our life. Amen? And let me kind of explain that just a little bit. If a person today is trying to get remission of their sins and they've never repented, if they're trying to live a holy and righteous life and they've never come to an altar of repentance and truly gave their life and their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be very difficult for them to operate in victory. But let me tell you something about repentance. Repentance strips away that pride. Repentance molds and makes you anew. Amen. I remember when I came to the altar, I believe the Spirit of the Lord began to push my ways aside. It began to mash me down as the potter began to take the clay in his hands, and he made it brand new. Thank God. I'm so glad that I had that experience in an altar, but I don't believe that I would have ever been able to have that experience had I not had that broken and contrite spirit that caused me to come before God and repent of my sins. Amen. The Bible tells us, you know, that God will wash away our sins, but we must be repentive. Amen. And that means more than just lip service. Can you say amen? That means godly sorrow for our sins. Aren't you glad that your sins have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ? So there we have in the first verse, we have the old story, a Savior and repentance. All three very key factors into living and operating in victory. Now I want you to understand tonight, I'm not just talking about one-time victory, okay? Not just talking about a feel-good experience. I'm talking about truly living in victory. And truly living in victory will make you joyous in your heart regardless of what you're facing in this world. Regardless of what the situation is, regardless of what's going on, whether it's family issues, whether it's financial issues, whether it's occupational troubles, whatever it is, you can still have victory, amen, if you have that born-again experience with the Lord Jesus Christ and you know and understand what it means when the Bible says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe through Jesus Christ there there is victory over every obstacle. I believe through Jesus Christ there is victory over every sickness, over every affliction. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but how many knows it doesn't stop there? He's not only a Savior, but He's a healer. Amen. I like what David said. David said, He's the lifter up of my head. Amen. When you're living and operating in victory, you got nothing to hang your head about. You got nothing to feel sorry for yourself about, because we are a blessed people. Amen. Because the veil has been torn from top to bottom. How many knows we have access? We can come boldly, amen, before the Lord. What a privilege that is. There's no reason why we can't live in victory today. Praise God. But it's not just a short-lived victory. Many, many sports writers today and celebrities and actually athletes, they'll tell you many, many times, you know, you try to keep a level spirit about you. You kind of got get really, really high when you win and not get really, really low when you lose, because there's going to be some times that you're going to lose. There's going to be some times that you are not going to be victorious. But all of that is based on whether or not they come out as a winner on that particular activity, that particular ball game, or that particular whatever it may be. But Christians should not be like that. Come on, we should not go into a situation expecting to lose. Come on. If we were going in within our own ability, we might expect to lose. But, you know, the Bible says, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. We are victorious. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. As we say so often, words mean something. And the words that are written there, amen, are for our advantage. They're for our ability to live and operate in victory. Amen. Sure, victory in Jesus. But victory in Jesus means an eternal victory, an everlasting victory, regardless of the situations that we face. Then he goes into the second stanza, the second lyric, and he talks about his healing, and he mentions the lame to walk and the blind to see. I just want to take a little survey tonight, if I could. Let me just ask those that are in this congregation today, if you have ever been healed in your life, could you raise your hand? Has the Lord ever healed you of anything? Whether it's a headache, whether it's cancer, whether it's diabetes, whatever it is, He can make the lame walk. He can make the dumb talk. Amen. He can open up the eyes of the blind. If we've got that 100% tonight, how many knows if He did it then, He'll do it again. Amen. We can live in victory. We can operate in victory. Not because of us, but all because of Him. And because of what He did. Brother Jim, you said it yourself. One of those stripes that He took upon His body was for my healing. Amen. Thank God that with His stripes we are healed. We ought to be a church, amen, that realizes we got the victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. But not only His healing power, how great that is. I know that I could probably spend the balance of tonight talking about the miracles that I've been witnessed of or witness to. Many times He's healed my body. He healed my mother. Many, many years ago, I've told you how that He healed my brother's arm when the doctor said it would never be straight. We were in a 2-week revival in the little church at Rockmart, Georgia. And the power of God was moving. There were two evangelists. Amen. When you wear out two evangelists in one evangelist or one revival, amen, you know the power of God is working. Amen. But people begin to feel that little church house. I saw people walk in with crutches and leave those crutches laying at the altar and walk out as good as anybody. And you say, Brother Eddie, why don't we have that anymore? We do. The victories today is just as real as it was in the time of revivals. We have not because we ask God. Amen. The Lord is still able to do miraculous things. But not only is He able to heal our body, but the writer said His cleansing power. Glory to God. Can I just remind you of how we felt when we got up out of the altar? the night that Jesus Christ came into our life. Oh, hallelujah. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Thank God for that feeling. You talk about proverbial cloud nine. Amen. I walked out. I don't even know if my feet were actually touching the floor that night that I walked out, because there was such a cleansing process in my life. Amen. And I knew, praise God, there was a power within me that was going to see me through any situation, any obstacle, any stepping stone, any pit that I might continue to meet in my life, that God was going to deliver me from that because of His cleansing power. Some writer wrote it this way: are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Praise God. How many is thankful for the blood of the Lamb? How many is thankful for His cleansing power? How many can give me a testimony? Oh, because of His cleansing power, I've got victory in Jesus. Amen. Because of what He did on the cross, I got victory in Jesus. Because of the stripes that He took upon His body, I got victory in Jesus. Amen. Come on, church, put your hands together if you got victory in Jesus tonight. Glory to God. Praise God. I got a feel. I believe it was Sister Joanne just a moment ago said something. I love the old songs, and I do. I love any song that talks about my Lord and Savior. And some of the old songs, sometimes it wasn't because the author got down and wanted to make some words rhyme and go to a pretty good song or a beat to a song, but it was because God put something burning in their hearts. How many knows those old hymns? They stand forever. They're still just as real. You can almost feel the soul of that person as they poured their heart out into those lyrics. And I don't know the writer of a Victory in Jesus. I just know it was, I think, Bartlett or something, or that might have been the one that did it, Carpal Wrote it in 1939. But I believe when they wrote those words, I believe the Spirit of God moved upon them. Hallelujah. Just like those apostles. Amen. Just like those disciples, as the Spirit of God began to move upon them. So many people think that the Bible, amen, was just a bunch of folks, amen, that decided to get together and write things. But I don't believe that. I believe that people that began to write the Word of God was moved on by the power of God. Amen. I don't believe it was their opinions. I don't believe it was their idea. But I believe it was what the Holy Ghost placed in their heart and wanted them to write that down on paper so that we and generations after them could understand what it is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the author wrote this. He hears our cry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that no matter how busy the world is, don't you know that no matter what's going on and all the static that's around and all the hustle and muscle of everything, that when we need God, He hears our cry, even in the midnight hour? How many knows that sickness is never convenient? How many knows that sometimes our darkest trials come in the middle of the night? It's something about that midnight hour. And even if it's not the midnight hour, sometimes in our life we think it's that time because we're so perplexed with problems and issues and trials. But when we cry out to the Lord, I'm so thankful. Not only does He hear our cry, amen, but He answers our cry as well. Gives us, He says, He hears our cry and healed my broken spirit. Glory to God. Oh, I wish the world could get a hold of that. Church, can I tell you, It troubles me deeply when I see and I talk to people who have a broken spirit. Well, many would not confess that that's what it is, but you can see it in their eyes. You can feel it when you talk to them. There's no joy there. It seems like the eyes are hollow because there's no peace, no contentment. They're searching. They're looking for something to fill that void in their lives. And how many knows you'll never find it outside of Jesus? I remember my granddaddy giving a testimony when the Lord was dealing with him. You see, my granddaddy didn't give his life to the Lord at an early age. His wife, my grandmother, was a dedicated Christian for years and years and years before my granddaddy ever came, amen, to the knowledge of Christ, before he ever repented. And he later confessed that a lot of that was his pride. He even wanted to bargain with the Lord when the Lord began to convict his soul. He began to touch him, and my granddaddy knew that he needed a change in his life. And my granddaddy back then, he said, was just a little bit prim and proper, so he knew how folks acted when they got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. You know, somebody said, why do y'all act that way? I said, have you ever grabbed a live wire full of electricity? I don't act that way because I want to. I have to act that way because I got to do something. Amen. Because the power of God is flowing through me. But he was bargaining with God. He said, Lord, I want this Holy Ghost. But I don't want to act like those other people. So, Lord, if you'll just give it to me very quietly, then I'll give my life to you. How many knows you can't bargain with God? It's his way or the highway, so to speak. Amen. So my granddaddy went to the altar several times, and he didn't really get anywhere until he finally confessed. He said, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do, because I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired, amen, of laying my head on my pillow and not knowing if I wake up where I'm going to spend eternity. How many knows that God can get your attention? Amen. He hears our cry. Not only does he hear our cry, amen, but he will heal your broken spirit. So my granddaddy, then it was a little cottage prayer meeting. Some folks don't know what cottage prayer meetings are. That's where they got together when they didn't have a church house to worship the Lord, and they just went from house to house. Amen. How many knows God will be in the house? Wherever you invite him in, he'll be there. So let's have a little cottage prayer meeting there in Rockmart, Georgia. So the preacher preached, and then the altar call was given right there in the living room. And my granddaddy said he went down and he began to pray, and said after just a few minutes, he just lost consciousness of everything around him. Glory to God. I believe it was John the Revelator said, I was just kind of slain in the spirit, you know, and God was speaking to him. And my granddaddy just kind of lost all consciousness of everything that was around him. The Holy Ghost came into him, filled him. I mean, he lost control. He said he don't know what he did. He don't know what happened. He said, but when he came to himself, somebody said he had shouted over a rocking chair and was laying on the backside of a rocking chair with a guitar case laying on top of him. Amen. Glory to God. So much for prim and proper. Amen. So much for having it his way. Amen. God heard his cry. Amen. And that night he healed his broken spirit. Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad? Whether you got it shouting over a rocker, whether you got it at an altar, whether you got it in your living room. I had a first cousin that was born again in the living room of my granddaddy. Amen. My granddaddy said, you didn't have to be in church. Amen. Wherever you're ready, God's ready. Amen. He will hear your cry. And not only will he hear your cry, he'll fix and heal that broken spirit that is within you and set you on the road to victory. Amen. Victory in Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Then this anointed song goes into the third stanza. Amen. How many like promises? Come on, like promises. Amen. I love promises. How many's ever been heartbroken by a broken promise? Come on, you had your heart, your intent was on it. I mean, you just had your heart set on it, and whatever reason and whoever it was, the promise was not fulfilled. Can I tell you, when God makes a promise, come on, when God makes a promise, you go ahead and call it done. You go ahead and claim it, amen? Because God's word will stand. And he wrote this. He said, a promise of a mansion. Glory to God. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms, amen? Oh, hallelujah. If it were not so, I would have told you. Glory to God. But I go away and I prepare a place for you.
you that where I am, you may be also. That is victory, folks. Amen. That is victory regardless of what you're going through. That is victory regardless of what you're experiencing on the promise of God Himself. Then He tells us, talks about a street of gold. Amen. A street of gold and a crystal sea. Oh my goodness. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. All these wonderful promises. Amen. We are a victorious people, folks. We're victory. We have victory because of Jesus for what He did. Again, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then He speaks of the angels singing. But that's not the end of the story. But He says, we will join them in that song. Glory to God. You know, a lot of folk think, well, I'll finally claim victory when I finally get over there. No, you know what? I'm going to claim victory now. Praise God. Because, you know, it's not about whether I can live it. It's whether or not the Lord, amen, is within me. Amen. And that's the righteous thing about it. My righteousness, the Bible tells me, is as filthy rags. But His righteousness, that's where the victory is. His promise is the victory that I stand on. I'm going to love the victory. And I'm going to live in the victory. Amen. I'm going to experience victory in here. Regardless of my countenance, regardless of what I have to go through, we're still a victorious people in Jesus. Angels singing, we will join them in that song. Praise God. I want to close with this. I know we sung it once, but I want to just kind of go back to 120. I think we might sing it in a new light. I think we might really, rather than just hum it or sing a few words, we might really stop and think about what those promises are. Amen. We can do it in G, I guess. Yeah. Stand with me. And let's do it a little bit slow. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins. I won the victory. Sing it like you're winners, folks. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing. Let me see, the hands have been healed again. Come on. Yes. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Sing it, church. Oh, victory. Forever He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him. All my love is due Him. He won to victory. All right. Let's. I heard about a mansion. Glory to God. I want us to dwell on that just a little bit. I do not know what your idea of a mansion is. I don't know how many wonderful places that you've seen in your life that might classify as a castle or a mansion. But can I tell you, I believe they all pale in comparison to what Jesus Christ has in store for the victorious people. Glory to God, I've heard about it, but I got one. How about you? According to Jesus Christ, I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. Wait a minute. Hallelujah. If you happen to be here when they roll me down, I want you to understand, hallelujah, that some sweet day, glory to God, hallelujah, when all my trials are over, when all my affliction is behind me, when the devil can't torment me no more, don't you feel bad? Don't you feel sorry? Because some sweet day, I'm going to be singing with the angels. Glory to God. Somebody say, I got victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, in some sweet day, I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved the air I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the crimson flood. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying. Hallelujah. We have God's promise of victory in our lives, but thanks be to God that we have that victory through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't feel like you're experiencing victory, you don't feel like that you have that joy, that peace, that everlasting contentment, I want you to know that you can leave here tonight with that promise. You can leave here tonight full and overflowing, bubbling over in your spirit and in your soul. Thank God for victory. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. If you need prayer tonight, would you come? We'll pray with you. Before we dismiss, is there anyone here? Glory to God. If you have a prayer request, would you just let it be known by the raising of your hand? Pastor's going to be praying for those situations. May God bless you. We love you from the depths of our heart. Hope that you have a wonderful evening, a great balance of the week. And I want to remind you, folks, we are victorious through Jesus. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim, would you come? Dismiss us tonight. I'd like to see the board members that are here tonight for just about 5 minutes is all, if you'll see me in the pastor's study tonight as we prepare to get ready for Vacation Bible School. Thank y'all for being here tonight. Give Jesus another hand clap for prayer.